Hi everyone, Jeff here, or if you prefer, Dr. J, and welcome to Idle Eyes, as in Idle Eyes at the Devil's Playground, brought to you by Wild Type Communications, LLC. First, a brief word from our sponsor. Do you find yourself infested with vampire gerbils? Or do you think your friend flying outside your window asking if he can come inside may be a tad suspicious? Are you facing an army of the undead alone, with nothing but a fly swatter and a plucky attitude? Maybe we can help. At Wild Type Communications, we are self-professed vampire experts and can be your own personal consultant on how to handle an army of the undead. Although, since our expertise is not based on anything that someone might call quote-unquote real science, we are not responsible for your untimely death or your misjudgment of who you thought was a vampire. Perhaps they may be just your neighbor. Or maybe it's the fire hydrant down the street. Either way, any of your actions are solely your responsibility. Also, if you are more of a Twilight fan, we are self-professed vampire lovers too. However, the same rules apply, and any outcome is your responsibility. Give us a like on Facebook and follow our podcast, Wild Type Communications, LLC. Today I wanted to discuss one of my favorite B-rated movie actors. He's not really on everyone's mind, but he has worked steadily for the last probably 30 years. And while not everyone may know his name, there's a good chance you've seen something he's been in. His name is Bruce Campbell. Now, of course, I know a lot of people who might bother listening to this would be like, how can no one know his name, or not everyone absolutely adore Bruce Campbell? But to be honest, a lot of people don't, because they just like different movies than I personally like. But he is one of my absolute favorites. And how I want to discuss with him isn't necessarily with regards to the actor himself, but more with regards to a specific movie he's been in. Now, a lot of people remember him from Evil Dead, Army of Darkness fame. He was great in Maniac Cop. He was hilarious in Xena and Hercules. I loved him in Briscoe County Jr. But my first real memory of him was actually from the movie Waxworks 2. And this is where I kind of wanted to, the movie I wanted to discuss, and really what brought me into the true realization that Bruce Campbell was a comedic genius. Waxworks 2 is a sequel to Waxworks. Surprising. I know, it's really a shocker, I know. But to be completely honest, I didn't actually realize that at the time when I was watching the movie. I didn't know the title of the movie because it was something I caught on TV, on USA Up All Night, which was a USA kind of channel or time slot and late night where they would show really bad movies, or at least movies that they deemed bad, but I just thought were really cool. Anyways, so I caught it on TV and started watching it, and I guess you can actually watch this movie and not really get lost, even though it's technically a sequel. And the reason for that is it pretty much takes place a day after the original movie ended, even though the main actress's hair grew probably by a foot. So forget that for a moment. And the movie provides a brief overview of what actually happened in the previous movie. And so you're just brought up to speed. And so technically this is the only movie you would need to watch in this series. However, if you have a chance, catch Waxworks as well, as it is a pretty awesome movie. So let me still set the stage of Waxworks. And this way, you can still go see Waxworks 2 if you don't want to see that movie at all. And it can provide a little bit of context. But if you want to go see Waxworks, it's an enjoyable movie as well. So anyways, imagine this. You and a bunch of your friends decide to visit a new Waxworks museum, which is pretty much showing all the scenes from famous horror movies. You're invited by a very creepy museum curator. So nothing suspicious at all. And then you decide to cross the ropes of every single one of these little scenes, because why not? And you get sucked into a dimension that is actually haunted by the said evil monster of said horror movie. So then you find yourself facing Dracula or the Mummy or perhaps Night of the Living Dead, and all of these teenagers would die one by one, which would finalize these scenes in these movies, each one missing its victim. And once they were all complete, the monsters can come alive and wreak havoc on the world. That is, of course, until our plucky hero and his love interest survive and save the day, sort of. Everyone else dies. But at least they survive. And they are able to defeat the villain. It's a pretty funny movie, honestly, and it is worth checking out. It's definitely doesn't take itself seriously, and you get a lot of funny twists on some classic horror movies. Well, the sequel takes it one step further, and it gets weirder and more irreverent. So this movie stars Zach Galligan. He's the actor from Gremlins. Of Gremlins fame, and his love interest. I don't recall the love interest's name offhand, but she was, I believe, a famous supermodel during her heyday, so not a great actress. But still, it's still enjoyable. So what happens is they defeat the villains in the waxworks, except for one disembodied hand, which comes out and follows the girl home and ends up killing her abusive father. Needless to say, no one's going to believe her that a disembodied hand ended up killing her father, partly because she ended up putting it into a garbage disposal and destroyed the evidence. So she is on trial for murder, and it doesn't look good. So Zach Galligan's character, who was desperate to find anything that could help save her her life, found this magical key, which somehow opened other dimensions that they can travel through, and which he also found was a part of an important family heirloom, which was also part of his destiny for some reason. Watch the movie, it will sort of make sense, but it'll also sort of be like, oh, and then this happened, and this happened, and it's just kind of an odd movie that they definitely wrote very fast, but at least they had fun with it. But very soon, his character and his girlfriend found themselves in what was described literally in the movie as a version of Nintendo that was played by God and the devil, and he or they were the main characters. And each level was, in fact, a different horror movie. And this was this went from like Frankenstein to even Aliens, and they would make different parodies. And this is where Bruce Campbell comes in. He's in one of these specific parodies, and it was a black and white world, and it was kind of poking fun at The Haunting and The House on Haunted Hill, and Bruce Campbell was playing a paranormal investigator. He was kind of like the leader of the group, and Zach Galligan's character was in this group as well, and they went to find and exorcise the ghost out of this house. So I'll also have to admit, this was the one part of the movie I felt that due to how it was filmed, it was actually a little scary. It definitely played for laughs, but you could see the creep factor there as well. And it kind of made it extra fun. So anyways, during this scene, Bruce Campbell's character ends up being pretty much crucified and tortured by the ghost in the basement. You don't really see this. You kind of come down at the aftermath. And Zach Galligan's character comes by and wants to protect, tries everything he can to help Bruce Campbell's character. And no one else would really be able to talk, let alone give such a sardonic flat delivery of his lines. And even though he has continued to be tortured even more by Zach Galligan's idiocy throughout this role. So even though you see Bruce Campbell's character's chest open, you see crows like pecking at his ribs, it's really for comedic effect, so it's actually hilarious. And for someone who doesn't like gore at all, I saw nothing wrong with this. It was perfect. And just think of some of the lines with regards to, it's almost along the lines of Monty Python when the Black Knight would be like, "Oh, it's just a flesh wound." It's very similar to that sort of dry sense of humor. And throughout this time, he calmly gives direction to William Ragsdale to how to exorcise the demon, to read a passage from the Bible, and even calmly reminds him to turn the book over upside down when he starts to read it upside down. And honestly, I never laughed so hard. Not really describing it well. It's something you definitely should see. But it's definitely worth it. It's hilarious. That particular clip, if you look up Waxworks 2 and Bruce Campbell, is actually on YouTube. And you can actually find a lot of the clips on YouTube. I believe if you pay for it, you might be able to find the entire movie on YouTube as well. But it can also be ordered via Blu-ray and DVD. And so a couple other little fun facts. Came out in 1992. Drew Barrymore is actually in it. I believe she plays a vampire. Miranda Sirtis of Star Trek Next Generation fame, she's in it. She's actually in the scene with Bruce Campbell. And it also stars the famous, let's see if I can get this name right, Alexander Borisovich Godwinner, I believe. And he was kind of a famous actor from the famous aspect of you'd recognize his face once you resaw the movie and be like, oh yeah, he's that one guy in that one movie, but you can't quite place it. Well, he was in Die Hard. He was actually in Money Pit and a few other movies, and he would often play the brooding henchman or some really tall blonde Russian guy because he was Russian. And in this, he played the main bad guy of this movie, and his name was Scarabus. So just listen to that, and this is that really awesome writing you get. When they actually decide to name the main villain Scarabus, it's like, wow, you really didn't care. But it made a great movie with a lot of laughs. So, you know, again, check it out. Let me know what you think. Talk to you later. Bye. So here's a quick PS for this podcast. I learned something today, which probably should be pretty obvious. William Ragsdale and Zach Galligan are not the same person. They're two very different actors, but for some reason, I kept on confusing the situation and kept on putting William Ragsdale into Waxworks 2. I recorded this a few times so I can get it right, but William Ragsdale still snuck in. And as I was reviewing it, I noticed it at least once, maybe even more time, where I would call Zach Galligan William Ragsdale. I thought maybe I should re-record this again, but then I figured, you know what? Let's just own my mistakes. It's not the biggest deal in the world. If it confuses some people, who cares? I mean, they might as well be the same person. And it just shows how much esteem I really have for this movie. Yes, Zach Galligan and William Ragsdale are different people, but for all intents and purposes, I mean, whatever. Who cares? Enjoy the movie. It stars someone who was famous in the 80s, and yeah, enjoy.